Welcome everyone to the First Church message for Sunday the 20th of February 2022. Continuing our journey through 1 Peter 1 today with a message called, "When I Don't Feel Like Being Good." Let's pray before we start. Father, I just want to pray that today, as we listen to this message and study your word, we just pray that you would open our hearts to your goodness and to the gift you've given us in Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we listen to this today, we just pray that we will be motivated to want to be good because you are good, and that we want to be holy because you are holy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our scripture today is 1 Peter 1, 17 to 25. "Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." So following on from our previous look at 1 Peter, "Be holy because I'm holy," today we're going to focus on split-second decisions, whether in any given moment you do the right or the wrong thing. Our goal is to get good at being good. This means learning to live a life of integrity. To put it another way, it's about learning to become obedient to God. Integrity and obedience go hand in hand. Being good means living a life that is consistently obedient to God's will, choosing to do the right thing day in, day out. Now please don't think I'm pointing the finger at anyone here. Someone once pointed out to me that when you point the finger at someone, remember that you have three fingers pointing back at yourself. So what we're looking at today is as much for me as anyone. Hopefully there may be some eternal principles for each of us to discover. Being good may be easy to define, but it's not always easy to do. By our very nature, we don't always want to do what we know we should. The choice to obey is a split-second decision, and it's always our choice. There's not a sermon you can hear, a church you can attend, a seminar you can go to, or a self-help book you can read that will compel you to act with integrity in any given situation. It is your choice. However, there are things behind the scenes of every choice you make, things you think about and believe, that either empower you or cause you to fail to act with integrity. So what if you don't feel like being good? Then you need to remember that being good makes good sense, and build the necessary foundation to develop a habit of obedience. But what does it mean to be good? Now a quick Google search threw the following up. Morally excellent, virtuous, righteous, pious, kind and helpful, satisfactory in quality, quantity or degree, of high quality, excellent. And Plato is credited with saying that being good means that you will be wise as you can be when you are old and grey. Probably the hardest part about being good is that we are constantly being tempted by our earthly desires, the old self as it were. And if we take our eyes off Jesus, we can too easily succumb to those desires. A person once said, "The hardest part of being a good person is always doing right by people, even if they do wrong to you." In a situation like this, when we take our eyes off Jesus, we'd put ourselves at the center, No matter how right we think we are, we cannot afford to lose sight of what God expects of us. Remember back to the message, be holy because I'm holy. Let's look at some upsides of being good. Firstly, being good opens the door to God's blessings in your life. God's laws apply to everyone evenly across the board, and he established them in such a way that if you obey, you are blessed, but if you disobey, you're not blessed. It's that simple. When I was a classroom teacher, we used to dread rainy days. It meant you had to stay with your class right through the 1 hour lunch break. You can imagine what it was like to be stuck inside with 35 youngsters who really needed to be outside letting off steam. So let me get on with some marking or planning. I sometimes used to get the kids to play the quiet game. One player stood in front of the class and picked the person who was being the quietest, with maybe the incentive of a prize or group points for whoever ended up at the front when the lunch break finished. Of course, everyone in the room was equally quiet. So what did the person at the front do? They picked their friends. If you watch carefully, you could see groups who had agreed in advance to only pick each other. So even though everyone in the class was being equally quiet, one group picked each other in an endless loop. Although it gave me a little bit of breathing space, the sense of indignation at injustice felt by the rest of the class usually resulted in the early demise of the game. Some people think God's judgment is like the quiet game. Two people can do the same thing, and God will bless one and not the other. It doesn't work that way, because God doesn't bless according to whim. He blesses according to his laws. Let's say that two people go to a car dealer to look at the same car, and in particular, want to know the fuel efficiency. The first person doesn't know the dealer and asks, how many litres per 100 k's will I get? Now that's miles to the gallon in old language. The dealer says, according to the test that you've done on this car, you will average 9 litres per 100 kilometres, or 30 miles per gallon. The next person comes to look at the car. He's a friend of the car dealer, maybe an old schoolmate. He asks the dealer, how many litres per 100 k's, or miles per gallon, will I get? And the dealer says, well, according to the test, you're supposed to get 9 litres per 100 kilometres, 30 miles to the gallon. But since you're my good friend, I'll let you get 7 litres per 100 kilometres, or 40 miles per gallon. Now, a car dealer can't do that. He can't override the laws of physics and combustion engine design just to do a favour for a friend. In the same way, God doesn't overlook his laws to give you a special deal on obedience. God judges each person's work impartially. This, according to what you do, will either work for or against you. There are certain cause and effect laws at work in our lives. If you eat right and exercise, you'll be healthier than if you eat junk food and sit on the couch all day. If you study, you'll get better grades than if you watch TV all day. If you show love and mercy to the people in your life, your relationships will be more rewarding than if you show hostility and judgment. If you obey God, your life will be blessed more than if you disobey. The Apostle Paul, who suffered greatly for his faith, agreed with this. Romans 2, 6 and 7 says, God will repay each person according to what they've done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honour and immortality, he will give eternal life. This doesn't mean that everything will be perfect if we obey God, but we will open the door to his blessings. An electrician said, I have a healthy respect for electricity, which is to say, I'm afraid of what it can do. He isn't afraid to work with or benefit from electricity, but he has a reverent fear of its power. He knows electricity doesn't play favourites. It doesn't matter if you're a master or a novice. If you break the rules, you'll get the shock of your life. It works the same way with God's laws. Obey and you will be blessed. Disobey and you won't be blessed. If you don't feel like doing good, if you need a motivation for being obedient, This is one reason being good makes sense. It opens the door to God's blessing in your life. Listen to 1 Peter 1:17 again. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. What does it mean that God judges each person's work impartially? Verse 17 combines quite a few insights. First, Peter reminds us that this relationship we have with God, by his grace and through our faith in Christ, is a relationship between a child and a father. It's a relationship of open communication. He's called us, and we call on him. This is a father who has proven his love for us, and right now actively shields us and the inheritance he has promised us in heaven. He's a good father. We are saved and we are secure. But this is not a father who smiles and nods approvingly at every choice we make. He judges our conduct impartially and individually. In other words, he judges our actions with absolute fairness and with complete understanding of each of us specifically. This has to be carefully understood. This is not a judgment about whether or not God will allow us into heaven or punish us in his wrath. Already in this letter, Peter has made it clear that decision is made and done. Our Father has given his believing children credit for Jesus' perfectly righteous life and has allowed Jesus, his son's death, to pay the price of our sins. But our Father does judge. He judges our works. He pays attention to whether our actions are those of holy people set aside for his purposes, or whether our choices continue to be driven by the evil desires we had when we lived in ignorance. Knowing this should change the way we live. We should stop trying to convince ourselves and the world around us that we belong here. We should stop trying to fit in. We should embrace our status as foreigners, strangers, and people in exile. We should live like the Father we wait to be united with. And yes, we should live with some amount of healthy fear, not a terror of God's wrath or eternal punishment. Instead, this is a fear of loving parental discipline and a solemn awareness that the God of the universe watches and expects us to make choices that bring him glory. Does God blessing means that everything will go well for us if we obey him? The apostles who died for their faith could answer that question for us. The apostles certainly felt blessed because God was using them in a powerful way. They also felt blessed because they were no longer enslaved to sin, but living purposeful lives. Blessing does not mean we won't have problems. We just have purpose and direction in the midst of them. Secondly, being good is the right response to the goodness of God. Walking in obedience and living with integrity is the goal of every believer. But it is not your good works that save your soul. You can't get right with God and earn eternal life by doing good works. The Bible says that the only way to get right with God is to put our faith in Jesus alone, because Jesus has done everything to bring us into a right relationship with God at a great price. If you live a perfect life and never commit a sin, never tell a lie, cheat, steal, think an impure thought, or break any of God's laws, then you, by your own goodness, will be in a right relationship with God. But how many of us would qualify? I'm guessing none of us. We all have this in common. We've all sinned. A father once overheard his three young sons talking loudly. One boy said, "Oh yeah? Well, one day I climbed on top of the house and jumped off and landed on a purple butterfly and I flew on his back all across town." The next boy said, "Oh yeah? Well, one day the dog dug a hole in the backyard and when I looked in, I could see all the way through to China." And the next boy said, "Oh well, yeah." At this point, the father said, "What's going on here? What's all the shouting?" His oldest son said, "We found a $2 coin and we don't know whose it is, so we're having a contest. Whoever tells the biggest lie gets to keep it." Oh, the father shook his head and said, "Boys, boys, boys, where did I go wrong? When I was your age, I always shared with my brothers, and I never made a game out of lying." The boys hung their heads, and the one with the coin held it out and said, "That's a good one, Dad. I guess you win the $2. We've all sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short of God's ideal. No one has lived a perfect life, and we deserve judgment. Each of us must deal with the sin that separates us from God. The good news is that Jesus dealt with our sin for us. When he died on the cross, his death paid the price for our sins and the punishment we deserve. Every one of us has done things we regret. We would have had to live with the guilt of our actions forever, but Jesus made it possible to be forgiven and be right with God. When we put our faith in him, he forgives us and cleanses us from every bad thing we've ever done. When we put our faith in him, we are right with him once and for all, forever and ever. So live a life of integrity, not so that God will accept you, but because God has already accepted you. He has forgiven you. When you accept Jesus Christ into your life and allow him to take control, he wipes the slate clean and removes all your guilt and shame. Whatever eternal punishment you deserved, he cancels the debt. In Romans 3, the Living Bible says, he acquits you and declares you not guilty. If you need a reason to be good, when you've got a choice to do right or wrong, remember what Jesus did for you. He died on the cross and shed his blood so that you may be forgiven. The only right response to his mercy is to live a life of obedience. 1 Peter 1:18 to 21 again. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. As good as it may seem to inherit wealth, possessions, or a good name from our forebears, Christ gives us so much more than perishable things. Knowing that Christ shed his blood for us should motivate us to obey God. He was without blemish or defect, yet crucified for us. He was raised from the dead, and through him we have our faith and hope in God. What more do we need to motivate us to obedience, to goodness, to holiness? And thirdly, being good makes you qualified to spread goodness to others. Verse 22 to 25 of 1 Peter 1. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Peter said, you purify yourself by obeying the truth, and this enables you to show love to others, a deep and pure love from the heart. The more good you do, the better you become. The better you become, the more you are able to spread goodness to others. What made it possible for a person like Mother Teresa to do what she did? How could she invest her life ministering to the so-called untouchables of Calcutta, to the poor, to AIDS victims, to the sick and the dying? How could she do it? Is it because they're easy to love? Someone supposedly said to Mother Teresa, I wouldn't do what you do for $1 million. Her response was, neither would I. Mother Teresa was able to show such love to the unlovely because she was good. She became good through the grace of Jesus Christ, and through her obedience, she was able to show more and more love to those who are desperately in need. Justification happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. As we've heard so many times in the past, and it doesn't get old, justified means just as if I'd never sinned. He wipes the slate clean. Sanctification means being holy or set apart. This is an ongoing operation in our lives. We are always in the process of becoming holy or good. Peter says you become holy, or purified as he says, by obeying the truth. You become good by doing good. As you grow in purity, you grow in your ability to show love to others. In a split second moment of decision, when you're faced with the temptation to commit a sin, you'll hear a voice saying, "It doesn't matter. No one will know. You can get away with it one more time." And then there's another voice, spoken from the pages of Scripture, that says, if you obey the truth, you will purify yourself and become more holy. And as you become more holy, you will be able to love others more and more and share that love with the world. How each of us responds to the imperative, "Be holy because I am holy," is a very personal part of our daily walk with the Lord. In his book, First Things First, Stephen Covey coined a phrase, integrity in the moment of choice. Think of this as when something happens to you and then you react to it. Squeezed between this action and reaction is your response or moment of choice. This moment of choice may only be a second, but could even be minutes, hours, or days. Thus we have the action, response, reaction model. This moment of choice before reacting is critical. Sometimes it really is a matter of milliseconds, as in when we're faced with danger. But in many cases, as Covey states, choosing integrity in the moment of choice changes the way we live. It is in this moment of choice, no matter how brief or long, that our focus should be on Jesus and recalling the scripture, "Be holy because I am holy." I'm not what you would call the most patient driver on the roads, and I certainly won't be the poster boy for the AA anytime soon. I've really had to work hard over the years at changing my response to another driver who, for example, cuts in on the motorway without signalling. My first instinct is to be somewhat uncharitable about the driving etiquette and then fume for the rest of the trip about the lack of a police car when you need one. But I can choose in that moment to let it go, as it were. Maybe that person is having a bad day. Maybe they're late for a crucial meeting. Maybe they're on the way to a family emergency. By reacting uncharitably, I'm also robbing myself of peace and well-being. Why should I let one person who I'll probably never see again upset me for the rest of the day? I had a principal colleague who once explained to me that when he received a particularly negative letter from a parent, he would place it in his bottom drawer and not return to it for a few days. Instead of reacting immediately out of anger or frustration, he took time and maintained his integrity in the moment of choice before responding. When you face these split-second moments of decision, here's the reason to choose good. You need it, and the world needs it. Your obedience makes you a better person and ultimately helps you make the world a better place. So losing your temper isn't quite so insignificant. Making a snide remark isn't quite so harmless. Bending the rules isn't quite so inconsequential. Every time you obey God, it increases your capacity to love others. Being good makes sense because you need it and the world needs it. So in closing, if there are times when you don't feel like being good, welcome to the club. We all have days when we don't live up to what we know we should do. Regardless of how we feel, being good makes sense because when we obey God, we open the door to his blessings in our lives. When we obey God, we express gratitude to him for his love and mercy. And when we obey God, we make ourselves better people as servants of him for his glory. If you don't feel like obeying, just remember those reasons why being good makes sense. Amen. Father, we just pray for your spirit to be upon each one of us in those moments when we have to choose. And Father, we just pray that we'll remember that when we obey you, that we choose to do the right thing. We open the door to your blessings. And Lord, we ask you to bless us. We want to thank you, Father, for your love and for your mercy. And Lord, we pray that you would make us better people, that you make us servants of you, and that you would gain the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.